desire and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Lovely, thank you. Yes, sister. Oh, how great thou art. Lovely. Yes, I don't know what number that one is. What's that, sorry? Number 5 in the wilds? Excellent. 37 in the hymn, either one. So we'll do the 3 verses in number 5 in the wilds. Thank you. Lovely. Thank you very much. Yes, Pastor? Oh, yes, Sister? Is thy name written? Sorry?
There's a new name written.
Yeah, we don't have that one. Sorry, sister. Do you have another one? Christ the Lord is risen today. That one? Oh, in Christ alone. Yes, lovely. We'll do that one. We'll do it in Christ alone. Thank you.
This is not in our books. Yes.
Wonderful, thank you very much. I think we've got time for one more. One more? Anyone? Yes. 292 in the hymnal. Thank you. Surely goodness and mercy. Lovely, thank you. And we'll do all three verses of that. We'll follow that with this month's memory verse.
All the days of my life.
dark, lonesome valley. My Savior will walk with me there, and safely His great hand will lead me to the mansions He's gone to prepare. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, of my life.
Thank you for that. Lovely. Thanks, everyone. We'll do this month's memory verse and we'll follow that with the announcements.
We could read through this twice, please.
John chapter 3, verse 16 and 18. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 18. One more time. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 18. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 18. Thank you.
All right, it is absolutely wonderful to see you tonight. Thank you for being here. It's great to have Brother Mervyn Yonigan with us. So glad he's here. Enjoyed the time that he's been with us at our home, and just appreciate his friendship. Prayer request-wise, pray for the kids as they start school back, and remember them, and I know teachers as well would appreciate your prayers as they start this new second term. Just a couple of reminders, youth group starts Friday, and so please keep that in mind. Sunday school resumes 3rd of May, this upcoming week for Sunday school. Next Sunday for Sunday school, we'll be doing anyone that missed the required training from earlier, and I think we've got at least three people coming to that, and maybe more, but keep that in mind. And then the men's breakfast, 9th of May from 8 a.m., men, hope you can come. We've got a special speaker and lots of good food, too. So that'll be at 8 a.m. on 9th of May. And then the ladies' afternoon tea on the same day from 2 p.m. I had a visiting speaker as well. Ladies, if you would sign up at the back, and hope you will do that, and it'll be a good time together. Family Focus Weekend, Friday the 12th through Sunday the 14th, we'll be having one. Brother Carol Curl will be with us, and looking forward to that. Have one session on Friday night, two on Saturday morning, and then our Sunday services. And so I hope you can come. That will be to encourage us and our families in our family time. All right, if you have prayer requests, please let me know before the service. And then pray for those that are away and those that aren't well. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And again, it's wonderful to have Brother Mervyn with us, and I'll ask him to come after our prayer time. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come to you tonight in prayer. Thank you for the wonderful truths we've sung about in the songs that we've sung. Thank you for the message this morning. Thank you for the promise of the Lord Jesus' return. May that promise make a change in our lives each day. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to look more to you and to keep our focus on you each day. We thank you, Father, for each one here tonight. Pray you bless our time together. For those that are not well, for those in the hospital, for those that have special needs tonight, we ask that you would undertake for them. Pray for those that are mentioned in the bulletin, Lord, that you would work in each situation. For those that are our friends and loved ones, neighbors and such that are unsaved, that you would touch their hearts. Give us opportunities to witness and open their hearts for their need for the Savior. We pray that you'd bless in our time together tonight. Use Brother Mervin, and thank you for his being here. And I pray that you'd be glorified in our service. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Mervin, if you would come. Thank you, dear sir.
Thank you, Pastor Kelly. Musicians and sound technicians, appreciate the ministry. Thank you. You should add one more verse to that, to the memory verse, John 3:17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Good verse. All right, let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for this time in this building that you've so wonderfully provided. Thank you, Father, for your promises. Thank you for your great love wherewith you loved us, Lord, for ransoming us from the grave, and Lord, for blood shed on Calvary, for purchasing our pardon. Lord, we are so grateful. Lord, we just thank you that we are found in this place tonight. Pray, Lord, help me and hide me. I pray that you'll be glorified in all that is said and done through me this evening, that you'll speak to me, Lord, and may I also really live the life that you want me to live. Lord, again, just thank you for our folk here in this church. Pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this evening I'd like to, it's like a practical lesson, and we're going to talk about a fellow in the New Testament, and not much is said of him, and he appears twice in the Bible, in the New Testament, and yet, even though there's only a brief record of this man in the Bible, there's a lot that we can learn from him as Christians. And so he is found in the book of Timothy. So if you'd please turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. 2 Timothy, chapter 1. And we'll start at verse 13. 2 Timothy, chapter 1. And verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Turn to chapter 4, please, of the same book. And verse 19, Paul's closing this letter of 2 Timothy, where it says, verse 19 of 2 Timothy 4, salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. So who is the man we're going to talk about? Yes, top of the class, Jared. Onesiphorus, okay. So, as I said, not much is said about him in the Bible. And yet, God has chosen to put this man in here in the Bible so that we can learn from him. And he was a Greek. And his name means bringing profit or bringing help, thus enforcing the biblical depiction of him as one who ministers graciously. And if you read this, just a short account, just contemplate and study it, you'll realize this man was someone special. And Paul obviously was very fond of him. And he speaks quite highly of him in these few verses that we read. So as I said, very little is known of this man. But the glimpses that we have of him in Scripture, they are just enough for us to see that this man was faithful in service, even in difficult circumstances and situations. He actually, literally, stuck his neck out for Paul. Now, we realize that Paul was in prison. And I guess there were many prisons. And Onesiphorus, the Bible says he sought out Paul diligently. Now, I don't know how many prisons he went to and how many inquiries he made of people about Onesiphorus. He said, do you know this man? And all the time risking his life, because that could have meant that he would also be put in jail, because he's inquiring about Paul, who is following the way, who is serving Christ and preaching Christ. So Onesiphorus was actually sticking out his neck for Paul. But he diligently sought Paul, and the Bible said, found him. He found him. Wow. So, I don't know how many prisons he went, but he found him. And interestingly, Paul contrasts Onesiphorus' faithfulness to the desertion of others. See, what did he say in verse 15 of 2 Timothy chapter 1? He says, this thou knowest. So Onesiphorus knew about the desertion as well. That all they which are in Asia, that's a big word, all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. They forsook Paul. They turned away from Paul. We don't know why, but perhaps one was because he was associated with the gospel of Jesus Christ, preaching Christ, and maybe they didn't want to suffer the same consequences that Paul was suffering. So they forsook him, they deserted him. And he names these two fellows. But he says in verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me. Oft, oftentimes. And so he must have traveled quite a bit to refresh Paul, where he was, wherever Paul was in the prison. And was, what did it say? He was not ashamed of Paul's chains. See, sometimes we know people who are of a lesser character, and we don't like to be associated with them, and we think, well, you know, the people think poorly of us, and that's right. I mean, that's a good way to think. But then again, we must think about, if we are Christians, we are born again, we are ministering to people, does that really matter? Do we seek the glory and praise of people, or the praise of God and his commendations? So Paul says he was not ashamed of Paul's chains. And Paul was in chains, obviously. He wouldn't write it otherwise. He was in chains. So Paul said, verse 7, when he was in Rome. So we know that Onesiphorus has been traveling. He sought me out very diligently. And I'm glad about the other three words, and found me. It must have been very difficult. He must have asked many questions of many people. And some may have just, Paul, we don't know where he is. But anyway, so Paul commends this man and the household of Onesiphorus. So we gather quite a bit from Onesiphorus, just from this few verses in Scripture. We find Onesiphorus being very loyal in assistance. He was hospitable. He oft refreshed Paul. And that's a wonderful gift that God gives us, of hospitality. That's one of the gifts. And there are many in this church who are hospitable people. They have the gift of hospitality. And I enjoy the hospitality of a lot of people. Thank you. Thank God for that. But this was Onesiphorus, and he was unashamed. Personal ministry to Paul was paramount. He was not afraid of sticking his neck out or even perhaps suffering the same consequence as Paul. Or he wouldn't have done it. He just kept going. So he refreshed Paul. We know that's number one. He refreshed Paul while Paul was in prison. So we know 2 Timothy 1:16. He went out of his way to bring encouragement. You know, that's something that we as Christians should be doing more, encouraging people. And when people are down and out, you know, and sometimes we just leave them there. Not just Christians, but yes, of the household of faith, but let's go beyond that. There are many people around us who need encouragement, who need succor and help and support. And Christians have got ministry that God has given us that we have to go out and reach these people. I know our church does that. Beautiful ministry. We have the bread ministry is one great thing, giving bread to people around us. And that is a wonderful ministry. And God will bless that effort and the church for that. So we need to be encouraging people and with practical support as well. Not just, yeah, I'll be praying for you. That's very important. We pray and we keep going. But when it comes to help, do we reach out? Even if it costs a bit of money? As I said, this is a practical lesson for all of us Christians. We think most of us are believers here. So how do we react when we see people who are in dire need? But here was Onesiphorus, who was helping a prisoner, a noted prisoner. I mean, he was noted throughout the Roman Empire, Paul the prisoner. And Paul had stood before many kings and given his witness and testimony about how Jesus had transformed his life on the road to Damascus. One time, at one moment, he was out to destroy the Christians. And suddenly when God took a hold of his life, when he met Jesus face to face, immediately his life was transformed that very moment and said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And Jesus said, go. We told you what you ought to do. And he told the servant of his servant, he said, look, he's going to be a servant of mine. He's going, Ananias, he said, he will know what suffering truly is. He says, he's been torturing, killing people, destroying the church. He said, he will soon learn what it means to suffer for Christ. And then we read through the scriptures, the New Testament, how Paul writes about the suffering that he goes through. And yet he's not one bit moved by that. He just continues, carries on serving Christ. So encouraging and not ashamed of people who perhaps, you know, we don't really like. Look, I'm speaking to myself. I have a lot of people I don't like, and because they do the wrong thing. But as a Christian, what is my attitude? Condemning? That's wrong. Well, because the Bible, the scripture, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, and yet I'm condemning them. But that the world through him might be saved. So if I don't give the gospel, not just by word, but through my actions, then I'm a hypocrite. My religion is sham. My faith is sham. James says faith and works must go together. If they don't, then there's something wrong. We need to examine our lives. But here was Onesiphorus doing just what God wanted him to do. Just mentioned twice, and we have a sermon on him. This is just one. There are many, many other sermons that I'm sure people have preached on this man. We find not only did he refresh Paul's soul, he was diligent. You know, we need to be diligent in our Christian life. Diligent. Keep going, you know, and not swayed, but diligent. Keep on the track. Keep going. He did not give up. 2 Timothy 1:17. He did not give amid possible dangers to his life. There may have been many obstacles on the way, a journey to Rome, many obstacles and dangers. We know things were not as easy as they are today. We have relative safety in travel these days. But those days, it was fraught with danger, travel. But people did travel. And here was Onesiphorus traveling and possibly putting his life in danger. Here he was showing perseverance, persevering and courageous. That is a valuable reminder to us Christians, to you and me. We need to persevere. The Bible talks about persevering, being steadfast, saints, unmovable. Remind of Christian brotherly love. The Bible says, let brotherly love continue. Not just amongst ourselves, let it continue, flow from us outside. So when we go out into the world tonight and even tomorrow to work, wherever, college, studies, business, remember this, let brotherly love continue and let us carry on to the people outside. Let them see the love of Christ flowing through us, because the love of Christ constrains us. So we go out. We do it not because, you know, it's a job to do, you know. Yeah. Sometimes, yeah, we can be legalistic, but the mandate is there. God has given us a mandate to serve and reach out and tell people about Him. Oh, it's easy in church. We sit here and you can come up and give a message and testimony. But when we go outside, we think, well, it doesn't really matter. I'll tell you what, witnessing is not easy. It's tough. I mean, the disciples, what did Jesus say before? You shall be witnesses. Now go. Why? They had been trained by Jesus all these many years, 3 years, 3.5 years. They had been taught by Christ. You know, serve, you will suffer. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die, but I'll rise again. But you will have to carry on this mantle that I'm laying upon. You are the light and of the world now, light and salt. Imagine, you and I are light and salt. Because Jesus is not here, so now he said, I'm going, but you are now the light. So his light ought to shine through us daily, moment by moment. So we need to reach out. So then we find that when Paul was ministering in Ephesus extensively, this fellow comes along and he helps him in Ephesus. And he testifies to his long-standing and ministry and service to 2 Timothy 1:18. Now we realize that Ephesus was one of the early church centers. It was one of the early church centers. Now, when we look at the scripture, sometimes we wonder why Paul perhaps just uses the expression, and his household. Well, there are varying reasons, interpretations of that. One of them is 2 Timothy 4:19, we find, he says, greet Prisca and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. So in other words, it's suggested that Onesiphorus may have died by this time. Some suggest that before the book of Timothy had been penned, the second book, Onesiphorus had passed away. Because we find Paul saying, may Lord have mercy on him in that day. And so it's suggested that he may have died. So Paul is now concerned about the family of Onesiphorus, and he prays for them. There's also another interpretation that said that his travel that he was doing was part of his ministry. So Onesiphorus is probably traveling a lot, and so he's absent in certain times when Paul wrote, and so Paul just used the expression, and his household. So these are two interpretations, that he was traveling on ministry or he had died. So what do we learn from this fellow, Onesiphorus? Other than that, it's a very big name. a tricky name, which means it was a nice meaning, prophet and helpful. So we learn that, number one, we need to be faithful. And we've heard that many times. As Christians, we need to be faithful. We sing that song, I want to be faithful, I want to be true. Faithfulness. In contrast to those who had deserted Paul, I mean, these fellows were there with Paul until something happened, things changed, the circumstances weren't looking quite pretty, so they left him. They deserted him, gone. He says, all forsook me. They've gone, except Onesiphorus. Need to be faithful. Secondly, a loving boldness. We need to be bold. You know, when we go out on the streets to tell about Jesus Christ, we need to pray for God's boldness and courage and the words to give, to speak. Because, and we know the Bible says, in that hour, when you don't know what to speak, the Spirit of God will give you the words to speak. But we need to pray for wisdom. We need to pray for guidance. We need for boldness and courage to stand and proclaim the Word of God. And after all, this is only for a short time. Soon we'll be gone. And you know, in heaven, we won't have a chance to witness to anybody. That's happening here. There's no opportunity to witness there. We've gone. So we need to be bold. And I know I'm talking about myself, because sometimes when you see a group of people, you know, you're out there and you think, whoa. You try to dodge them, or say you someone else take the track to that person. But then when you actually approach them, they're quite nice. You just say, Lord, I'm a little nervous about this group. Can you please help me? And God will help. And they are the most friendly. It's amazing. Try God sometimes that way, you know. See, and God will give you the boldness and courage to go out, reach out to his people. Then a favor from the Lord. So Paul's plea that the Lord would grant the family of Onesiphorus mercy. Genuine service done in Christ's name does not go unnoticed. It does not go unnoticed. Not by people, not by us, by God. Genuine service, not lip service, but heart service and lip service, is not unnoticed. God notices that. He sees it. And he blesses that effort. Why have we got people in our congregation today? Because someone reached out. Someone told you about Christ, and you came, you're in church today, and God honored that work that people had done in witnessing to you. So, let us be courageous. Let us be selfless. Onesiphorus was selfless. I mean, he didn't worry about himself. In fact, he would have given Paul stuff. Paul wouldn't have had anything in the prison. Oh, I'm sure he would have been taken care of because he was in prison. He had the normal daily allowance of food, etc., I'm sure. But his life was not comfortable in prison. He was in chains. I mean, have you ever been in chains? I haven't been. It's not very comfortable. And so we need to be selfless, giving of ourselves, and it's just serving. You know, it's simple things that we need to remember as Christians. So can we be the kind of example, timeless examples of brotherly love that Scripture commends? You know, our guide and our map is this. Everything, every situation is covered here. This is what we go by. Yes, we have commentaries, books. We thank God for that. We use them. But this is the book, the Bible. And let us continue in the path of faith. That is important. Let's continue in the path of faith. We'll have many obstacles. Many obstacles to drop us, bring us down. But by God's grace, Lord, help me to keep the faith. till you take me home. There will be falling, there will be problems along the way, and we will slip. I do. But God says, I will help you. Regardless of the cost. You know, there's a cost for service. And it could be a life. It could be your life, it could be my life, the cost. Are we willing to pay the cost? You know, one day, the Bible says, we will see his face. And I guess, I believe, the greatest blessing of eternity is that we will see the face of Jesus. We will see the face of Jesus. Matthew 5 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. That will happen. Hebrews 12:14, see God. And one day we will, and I guess, I believe that will be the greatest blessing, that we will see him face to face. We sing the song, face to face with Christ my Savior, beholding his face. What a glory that will be. I mean, we're not far. We're not far from that moment. And we will be caught up and taken. And let's be faithful, courageous, loyal, serving God. And I hope you and I have been challenged and blessed by this little message. And this great man, Onesiphorus, in the eyes of God, he was great. I mean, he must have been, you know, just another person, another Greek. But in the eyes of God, he was a special Greek. God's Greek. He said, he is my man. When all others deserted Paul, forsook him, Onesiphorus put his neck out. So I am going to stand by him. And today, we must take a stand for Jesus. Because he took a stand for us. Gave his life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the life of Onesiphorus. But Lord, beyond that, we thank you for the life of Jesus Christ, on whom Onesiphorus patterned his life. But as we've studied a little bit about Onesiphorus, I pray, Lord, that you'll help me to be exactly what you want me to be by way of this man's life, Onesiphorus. I pray, Lord, that you will encourage us, strengthen us, and equip us as we leave this place for the week ahead. Even tonight, perhaps, Lord, may have a chance to talk to someone about Christ. Lord, we thank you for saving us, and Lord, for just choosing us, Lord, for bringing us to yourself, to your fold. Lord, there's nothing in us, Lord, but Lord, we thank you that your great grace brought us to yourself, to your fold. So, Lord, I pray that you'll help us, our church, to do exactly what you want us to do as found in Scripture. Lord, I pray that you'll use us, each one, Lord, each one, as we leave this place. And may this work continue here in Townsville. Pray that more will be added to the church, such as should be saved. So, Lord, again, I thank you for this folk here, for these lovely people, families here. Pray a blessing upon each one. And as we leave this place, pray, Lord, go before us and guide us. And Lord, just dismiss us with your blessings. And we pray and thank you in Jesus' blessed, matchless, holy name. Amen. Is that it? Anna? You want to say, Kelly?
Let's conclude our service tonight with number 39. I want to be faithful, and I hope that's our desire tonight, to be faithful, as Brother Mervin has encouraged us. Get by and let Brother Mervin know that you're glad he's here and that you'll be praying for him as he travels home tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, if you could all stand, and we'll do the first. Only one verse? Okay, we'll do that one then.
I want to be faithful, I want to be true.
best. One more time, please.
I want to be faithful. I want to be true. I want to be faithful in all that I do. I want to be faithful through every test. I want to be faithful. I'll give it my best.
Wonderful. God bless you all. You're now dismissed in God's loving care.